Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are chatting with Ed Moya, senior market analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, we're going to start off broad comments when it comes to commodities, especially metals, because I'm looking at my screen right here and precious metals, we have gold down over 2%. This is all spot market prices. We have silver down 5.5%. We look at the base metals, and those almost across the board outside of lead are also down over 1%. Nickel's down over 2%. There continues to be this kind of exodus away from commodities, and I understand the move maybe away from precious metals as we have seen the dollar move higher, yields move higher, and better economic data. But you would think that maybe some of the base metals might be supported because of the better economic data. But again, that also, you need to consider that the base metals also have gone on a massive run higher. So, Ed, what's your takeaway from this continued weakness in commodities, especially precious metals?
I think we have two big stories here. We have the impressive economic activity we're getting from the U.S. Last Friday's non-farm payroll report was big exclamation point. You know, Delta variant not really slowing much in this economy. But when you look abroad, when you look at Asia, when you take a look at even at the, you know, the beginning of the month, we had those manufacturing PMI readings, and you have a lot of Asia in contraction territory or heading there. China is barely above, barely hanging out to expansion territory, and it's all this weakness in Asia that kind of dealt the blow to commodities across the board, especially the base ones. And now you're seeing you have just Wall Street right now, they're just fixated on, here we go, taper time. We probably have the Fed in a position where they could make a formal announcement at the September FOMC. And, you know, I think the Fed speak, they pretty much said it. We're one solid non-farm payroll report in September away from being able to sign off on a taper announcement. So I think you're probably seeing, you know, this market is really kind of bracing itself for a taper announcement by the Fed. And that's why I think you saw gold, you know, gold had that, overnight flash crash. I was chatting with my colleague in Singapore, and it was pretty quite something. We saw gold drop, you know, over $60, I think, in 5 minutes. And there was, some thin conditions in place, you know, Japan holiday, Singapore holiday, And you have a market that, obviously is, playing catch up with the non-farm payroll report when Asia opened. So you had tremendous weakness for gold. And I think what you saw was that weakness really had everyone pretty much agree that, you know, okay, short-term outlook for gold is becoming very bearish, mainly because of the surge in treasury yields, the, you know, expectations that, you know, the taper decision is imminent. Stronger dollar, no need for safe havens, at least in the U.S. And that's kind of provided a big unwind of that trade. But I think it's interesting to see, though, there was strong demand that, you know, defended that 1700 level initially. And I think you're in a period where people are going to try to get a sense of, okay, well, we have, you know, tapering that's going to happen. But, you know, the Fed has not really relayed, well, what does this mean once we're tapering? How soon do we get those rate hikes? And that's where the next big debate is. And I think that you're going to see the base effects of what's happening this year really complicate what the Fed can do as far as tightening at the end of next year. So I'm in the camp 2023. So I think there's a big push and expectation that we could see them move a lot sooner. But, you know, that will, you know, that's TBD.
Well, there's no doubt that the, you know, some of the markets have been pressured today as the bonds are rising and the dollar is rising. And a lot of that is based on the Fed and that concern about early tapering. But how does that concern about what the Fed's doing counterbalance with the talks that are also underway to sign an infrastructure bill? One would think that regardless of gold, you know, being in a risk on, risk off situation, that the rest of the commodity sector would benefit from the talks about the infrastructure bill, but we're seeing just the opposite. Is the Fed's policy so much more powerful than the policy for growth and for infrastructure across the country?
Well, I think when you take a look at the infrastructure package, it's only $550 billion. I say only $550, but I think the big question mark for the market is, what's going to happen with the reconciliation bill? And that's over $3 trillion, and that right now seems to be a coin flip. I think the Wall Street's widely priced this in. It's happening. There's very limited out. There were some concerns that it could get delayed a little bit more, but that seems like it's going to get done this week. And I think at least in the Senate. And right now you're probably I think for the most part you're just going to see the market is really going to wait to see what's going to happen with the other $3 trillion that's up in the air, and that is ultimately going to dictate, I think, how much higher we go. I still think, we're probably going to see a lot of people become a little bit skeptical. We're not going to have a taper tantrum that we saw last decade, but we're probably going to see some weakness once that formal announcement's made. I think that the situation in China, the crackdowns that are happening, those are not easing anytime soon. I think China has made it pretty clear they don't need FDI, foreign direct investment, right now to help their economy. They believe they could do it domestically, and I think you're going to see those crackdowns continue to be in place. And remember, during COVID, the PBOC was one of the they did the least amount as far as the larger central banks out there. They have a lot of ammunition left, so we could see some difficulty, I think, in the Chinese markets. And Xi is not concerned about the election until the end of next year. So I think he's got some little period here where he can let things unfold. So I think you're probably going to see, it's going to be, I think, a tough time for stocks. I know, we've had 150 trading days this year, and we've made 44 record highs for the S&P 500. We're probably still going to make some record highs. I think we're going to finish the year much higher, but I just think short term, as we brace for that taper announcement, I'm turning cautious here.
Okay, Ed. So a couple other markets that we should discuss when it comes to what might be moving the commodities, and also shows a broader risk tolerance, I guess, for the average investor, the generalist investor, and that is the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar continues to move higher. We're almost at 93 now on the dollar index. So still low 90s, but we've also seen a, I think, pretty significant reversal in the yield environment, as the 10-year is now up over 1.3%, and that's shortly after, a couple days really after, the 10-year was down at 1.1%. So that's been, I think, a big change that does usually directly impact the commodity sector. It can also weigh on the U.S. markets as well, but those are for the most part flat again. What's your takeaway from now this at least short-term uptrend we're seeing in the dollar and in yields?
Well, positioning had a dramatic shift. The bullish bets for the dollar, they, finally turned positive. This is the first time since May, so it's been quite some time. I think the consensus, everyone. I think Bank of America highlighting historically exceptional market and economic conditions for the dollar here, and you're probably going to see there's I think larger amount of traders anticipating you're going to have rising treasury yields going forward. I think the market is typically in agreement that you have higher treasury yields, you're going to have a stronger dollar. And what's happened, a lot of these tightening cycles abroad, which sometimes counteract some of those currency flows, we're starting to see growth concerns abroad complicate what other central banks are doing. So you have a Fed that now is in a position where once they announce taper, they're going to be focused on rate hikes. And these growth concerns abroad are not being alleviated just yet. So you probably have a couple good months of you know, where the macro themes are going to be for supporting that dollar move. While, you know, that's probably going to be the case. And when you take a look at what's happening over in Europe, so when you're talking FX, you know, it's all about euro dollar for the most for most traders. That's the most, you know, it has the most volume. It's typically the first currency most traders look at. You know, despite, you know, the no inclination of even pondering of rate hikes in the ECB, you know, the dollar is still it has strengthened, yes, but it's still, you know, above 117. And I think, you know, given the macro stories that have, you know, evolved over the past couple of weeks, you know, it goes to show you how this market, you know, while there is this belief, you know, everything is turning bullish for the dollar, you know, once we get past tapering, once we get past I think overall expectation that, okay, the Fed will probably kind of queue up a couple rate hikes for, if not at the end of the fourth quarter of next year, early in 2023, you know, the Fed is not going to have, I think, an aggressive tightening cycle, tightening streak going on, whereas the rest of the world will probably be. The Fed has just a problem where they're not going to be able to survive, you know, much more, I think, higher interest rates than, you know, when we get to those pre-COVID levels. So if we're at, you know, one and three quarters, that's probably going to be where the Fed will, you know, I think, kind of anticipate that, you know, the longer term driving factors are going to probably cap treasury yields. And by that point, hopefully the global growth story will, you know, be well beyond high gear. So I think, you know, there's this difficulty in, you know, anticipating exactly, well, you know, how much more dollar strength will we really see. And I think that, you know, for a short term, I think for euro dollar, you know, you're probably looking at 116 as the key level, where that might be where you start to see people have, you know, the inclination to have some longer term bets on betting pro euro here. And I think currencies are going to be a very, very interesting tale, because, you know, we have a lot of seasonality, which will, you know, suggest that we could have a softer dollar in August. But right now, obviously, you know, this yield curve move, you can't avoid it.
Well, it could have just be summed up as simply that there's more confidence in the U.S. growth than there is in many other countries. And there's more guidance now from what the Fed is going to do compared to other central banks in other countries. So could the dollar strength simply just be that other currencies it's paired against in its basket are just looking weaker right now?
I think that's why, you know, that's why we've seen, you know, the bullish bets flip to supporting the dollar. And I think that we still have a lot more, as far as, you know, the growth outlook in Asia. I think the way this is unfolding and the weakness that we've seen in China, that's really caught a lot of traders off guard. And I think that, you know, the reopening trade globally has not unfolded the way anyone anticipated it. And I think that you're still seeing, there is some significant areas of skepticism that you're going to have not a strong finish to the year abroad. And I think, you know, those safe haven flows into treasuries are also, you know, providing some extra support there too. So I think right now, yet short term, you know, everyone is bullish dollar, and you're probably, because we've come from a position where, you know, the bearish dollar bets were exceedingly strong. You probably could have some extra follow through here. But I think it'll be close to pay attention to the emerging markets, because what it's interesting is you're starting to see, you know, persistent inflation abroad. Some central banks are tightening. Mexican peso this week, they're supposed to tighten 25 basis points. The banks ago. And, you know, even Turkey, their CBRT is going to have on policy meeting, and Erdogan has insisted they cut rates. They have their 1 week rate is at 19%. So obviously, inflation is running wild. And if we continue to see these supply chain issues remain in place because of the Delta variant, that's just going to eat to these pricing pressures, and that's going to really complicate what some of these central banks do. So if you start to see the Mexican central bank starting to tighten by 50 basis points, and that is undoubtedly going to attract many peso bets. So the currency moves are not going to be one way, and you're probably going to see a lot of investors gravitate to some of these exceptional stories.
All right, Ed, we're going to wrap it up there. A lot to take in with these moves continuing lower for the precious metals especially, but yeah, the currency market, the bond market, those are also keys to understand, especially when it comes to some of this economic data that we're seeing and the favoritism that we continue to see for U.S. markets and the U.S. economy. Ed, thank you, as always, for your time. We'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.